I love reading romance, even with my mom. Historical, paranormal, a good rom-com. We both like a grump, an alpha and a beard. But reading with my mom, well, it gets kinda weird. I'm reading steamy scenes, getting bothered and hot. But if mom is asking, I read it for the plot. We look for swoony scenes, those moments that delight. Communication's good and the banter's so right. So if you'd like to read along and join the group, here's a little secret, I'll let you into the loop. It's just a little show that we like to dub,
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club.
Welcome to the book club that sure is not your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom's. I'm Ellen, and joining me as always is my mom. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hi, Ellen. It's going quite well.
Awesome. Today we are chatting about The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston. But first, Mom, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, this is the only thing I read.
Yeah.
Watching. Well, we just started watching
Palm Royale.
Palm Royale. I think that I'm not sure yet if I love it.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I need to see where the story goes.
Yeah.
I enjoy Kristen Wiig. I think she's...
It's a fun cast, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great cast. Yeah, and Allison Janney. There's just a lot of people in it. But I'm not sure yet. I got to see how the story goes.
Yeah.
I think...
We went and saw Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, we did. Ellen had the week off, and we wanted to go to a movie.
Yeah. We haven't been that... Like, I've been very lazy this week.
Yes. It's true.
Like more so than I intended to be. My issue last weekend set me off on a bad foot.
Yes.
Cause like I had grandiose plans of getting back on track with working out.
How'd those plans work out?
Not great. but you know, we'll see. I'm trying, like...
We watched some Taskmaster.
Yeah.
As always.
Well,
we've been watching the Australian one.
Yep.
And then the new season.
Yep. And we watched, like, a couple movies. Mom went on, like, an Arnold Schwarzenegger binge.
I did, because we were listening to New Heights, the Kelsey Brothers podcast, and they had Arnold Schwarzenegger on it, and it was delightful. And then I went on an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie binge, and I watched everything from Predator and Commando to Kindergarten Cop and Twins.
There you go. So that's what Mom was doing.
That's what I did with my very busy time.
Yeah. but I am back to school tomorrow.
Yep.
In fact...
But you just have short time until you...
I know. It's... I mean...
Oh, we did buy all the excursions for our...
We did buy a lot of our excursions for our cruise. We're going to do, like, Outlander sites and castles and...
A Beatles tour.
Beatles tour.
We're going to be super touristy.
Yeah, we're going to do all the things. Yeah, I was telling Mom, though, like, with spring break, the nice thing about spring break is that it's pretty much, like, downhill from there.
Yeah.
I have to get through testing, but honestly, like, testing as a teacher is actually kind of not too bad.
When I taught second grade, it was horrible because you had to read the whole test to them, and I would just be, like, parched and drained by the end of the day.
Yeah.
But with fifth graders, all you have to do is make sure...
Set them loose.
They stay on the... on the right website.
Okay, but do you know what? Now they do it, like, on an app, and it locks them in the app.
Oh, I wish we'd had that, because, gosh dang. They'd be doing the state testing. It's, like, the biggest thing, the culmination of my whole year, and they're, like, on... They have, like, eight tabs open across the top, so I know as soon as I walk away, they're going to click into something else, and it's just like, oh, these rotten kids.
Well, yeah, because all of my kids were bitching about it when I was telling them state testing was coming up. They're like, oh, that's the one that locks you in the test. I'm like, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Boo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, so they all know it. So yeah. They've obviously tried to go out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because even when they finish, they can't go into anything else.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay, Do we have anything else? Not really.
No, super boring.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been.
We've been super boring.
Yeah. Okay, today we are chatting about The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston. I don't know if I say her name right or not, but Poston has a number of titles out, primarily YA. We previously discussed her other adult title, which is The Dead Romantics. I remember, liking that book, probably, like,
really
like. It
was ghosts. There was ghosts, I remember. Yeah. Was it the gal that worked at the funeral home? Like, her family owned a funeral home? Was it that one?
I can't remember. I honestly don't remember.
I probably should
have looked it up, but. Unless you're thinking of, that's the undertaking of
Heart. No, it wasn't that one. It was a different one. I remember that one, but that one was, like, in a different world. This one was, like, in this world.
Maybe. I don't remember. This book, The 7-Year Slip, came out last summer. And it was, like, a Goodreads choice for romance and things like that. Didn't win, but I know it was up there. Okay, here is the back cover description for The 7-Year Slip. Sometimes the worst day of your life happens, and you have to figure out how to live after it. So Clementine forms a plan to keep her heart safe, stay busy, work hard, find someone decent to love, and try to remember to chase the moon. The last one is silly and obviously metaphorical, but her aunt always told her that you needed at least one big dream to keep going. And for the last year, that plan has gone off without a hitch. Mostly. The love part is hard because she doesn't want to get too close to anyone. She isn't sure her heart can take it. And then she finds a strange man standing in the kitchen of her late aunt's apartment, a man with kind eyes and a southern drawl, and a taste for lemon pies. The kind of man that, before it all, she would have fallen head over heels for. And she might again, except he exists in the past, 7 years ago to be exact, and she, quite literally, lives 7 years in his future. Her aunt always said that the apartment was a pinch in time, a place where moments blended together like watercolors. And Clementine knows that if she lets her heart fall, she'll be doomed. After all, love is never a matter of time, but a matter of timing. An overworked book publicist with a perfectly planned future hits a snag when she falls in love with her temporary roommate, only to discover he lives 7 years in the past in this witty and wise new novel from the New York Times bestselling author of The Dead Romantics. Okay, Mom, what did you think of The 7-Year Slip?
Ellen, I loved this book.
Yeah, I think I'm going to also go with a love.
Yeah, I mean, this story really sucked me in and I really, really enjoyed it. And her writing is just lovely.
Yeah. I was telling Mom yesterday, I'm like, it's a very pretty book. Like it's very like magical feeling, you know?
Well, and she has just such a turn of phrase that makes you go, oh, just for example, there was one little thing I remembered when she was describing her friends at the end of the book. And she was saying, my friends are the kind of friends that will always be there for you when you don't need them and be running towards you when you do need them. And I just thought, wow, that is just a great way to describe friends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I thought it was lovely. I thought, whether or not I think it's a true blue romance novel is, I don't know. But it definitely has, like, a romance plot at its
core.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other stuff going on, but it's definitely a romance plot.
Yes.
At the heart of the novel.
Yes. And, yeah, I just thought it was lovely, and I thought it had interesting things to say about life.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Let's go. Just go. Ask me those questions.
What did you think of Clementine as our heroine?
I liked Clementine. I liked her trying to find out, you know, what she wants in life. Because it started out with her being perfectly happy with what she was doing. You know, things were looking up for her future. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of these where, you know, her life was falling apart and she had to figure out what she wanted to do. She was actually in a good job and didn't hate her job. But just decided, as the book went on, she just decided, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. So just seeing that kind of a, you know, because a lot of times we read books about these girls whose lives are just a shambles and everything's just falling apart and they have to figure out where to go. But hers was not. And she just realized, this isn't me and this is not what I want to do.
Yeah. I did really like her. I sometimes felt like she was a little distant. Like, we didn't... But I think it's because she was confused, right? Yeah. And she, because she... The whole thing of the book is her trying to get to know herself. And she's kind of always lived in her aunt's shadow or trying to... Sorry about that. You know. So she's trying to, like, figure out what it is that she wants and who she is.
What's her?
Where's... Yeah. And, you know, a lot of her is, a lot of the novel is her growth and figuring that out.
But I liked, you know, I liked the image of her painting in her bathtub, and I totally get it. She didn't want to make a mess in the rest of the house, so she would paint in the bathtub. I get it. You know, and just her painting and, or drawing and...
That's what, like... When I was
travel journals.
Yeah, when I was talking about, like, how it feels very kind of lovely and magical, not even just the time travel, but just, like, the way she would describe the apartment.
Yeah.
And how would she would, like, kind of step into the apartment, and it was just, like, this lovely, especially when... Are we saying his name Ewan? Like...
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
Or we can say James.
Yeah.
But... I always just call him Ewan.
Yeah.
Because I think it's supposed to be like the Welsh version of...
E-W-A-N.
Yeah.
Okay. So, especially when he was there and...
We need... Someone who listened to it needs to let us know how they were pronouncing the
name. But, yeah, I just thought it was lovely. So, yeah, with her a little removed sometimes and... Maybe that, like, stopped me from, like, loving her as a heroine. But, yeah, kind of, I mean, she's not, I mean, I feel like sometimes with our romance heroines, we tend to, like, go a little overboard on, like, the quirk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's not quirky.
No, well, she's
really.
Not. Yeah. I mean, she's got some quirks, but she's not, like, over the top quirky.
Yeah.
Like, annoyingly quirky.
Yeah. And... You know, I think also the crux of the book is her kind of getting back to, like, maybe who she once was and...
Yeah.
Getting back in touch with that. What did you think of Ewan
or
James as our hero?
I thought he was great. And I loved the journey of the book in that she had to realize, I have to stop comparing him...
To himself
7 years ago. And, you know, when he was a struggling dishwasher. And, you know, I liked that.
Messaging.
Yeah. That and on our relationships with people. Because a lot of times, like, if you haven't seen someone for a lot of years, and then I always get the thing, oh, Julie, you have not changed. I was like, should I have changed some? Is everyone expecting me to be different?
Yeah.
I don't know. So just... The whole thing about comparing, you know, people to their past selves.
Yeah. I thought he was lovely. Obviously, like, he's more charming when he's
younger.
Ewan.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I have a question about this later too, but, I also really like kind of the message of he's now lived through some freaking life and...
And it would be hard in that he has nothing to compare her to because she's just herself. I mean, he sees her from this time period and then runs into her again from this time period. And she knows him from 7 years ago and from, right, and then is reintroduced to him, like, right now. So it would just be a weird kind of head-trippy dynamic.
Yeah. Do you think that... How do you think you've changed from, let's say, not even just 7 years? Because, honestly, like, at your point in life, that's not...
Well, I've changed... changed quite a bit in the past 7 years because I used to work, so I was always unhappy and miserable. And now I'm happy all the time because nothing gets me down.
So 7 years ago, you were me.
Except I've been doing it longer.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to think, like,
where you were 7 years ago.
Well, and not even, like, I mean, obviously, professionally and things like that, I was in a very different place. And location-wise, I was in a very different place 7 years ago. But, like, attitude-wise, kind of like James, like, if I've changed. Honestly, though, I feel like I've, I think I'm more cynical.
Yes, life does that to you, Ellen.
Yeah. And but I also feel like in the positive side, this does not sound like a positive, but care less. more just like what people think. Like, yeah. I just don't care. Like, I just, like, I really cannot be bothered about, like,
yeah. I don't know,
if that makes sense. And, like, I speak my mind more now than I used to.
And I think I've said this before on the podcast, but it's like, I remember going to, like, I don't know, like, my 10-year high school reunion. And going and being there and thinking, man, when I was in high school, I used to care so much what these people thought. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here, and I couldn't care less what any of these people think about me.
Yeah. And I think that's just kind of like a
maturity
normal
thing.
With age thing.
And that's a good thing, I think. I think it's good to get over.
Yeah, I do too.
Like overcaring what people think about you.
7 years ago, so I was 29.
What year was it? 17? Was it 17?
Yeah. So I was in Texas. Yeah, I was in Texas. So I was in Texas for my 30th, so.
Yeah, because you moved there in 16.
Mm-hmm. Where was my freaking ghost? Or
yeah, where was the guy in your apartment? What a crappy apartment you had. There were no hot guys hanging out.
Oh, okay. I was like, that was a nice apartment.
No, I mean, you didn't have any hot guy ghosts hanging out in your apartment.
Maybe my dog barking all the time through scared him away.
He does sit and stare at nothing for a long time.
He
so
does.
Maybe you do
I am convinced Steve can see ghosts. Like one time I was in Salt Lake and, he just was staring up at the corner of a room, just growling and just like stare. If he wasn't growling, he was just staring at this corner, like, up in the corner of my, like, ceiling, just staring up there for, like, 20 minutes. And I was like, do you see dead people?
He either sees ghosts or he's just a crazy-ass dog.
I think he sees ghosts. I think that's the most logical explanation.
Yeah, it must be.
Or, you know, there was somebody upstairs that was in the apartment above me that was doing something.
Making some noise that...
Oof. Yeah. He wasn't a fan of. Okay, what did you think of the magical realism / interdimensional time travel as relates to a romance?
I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
And one of the things I love about these books that have just a slight magical aspect to them, like they're in reality, everything else is in reality, but then it's got some just slight magical thing to it, mm-hmm. which is what I think her other book, if I'm remembering correctly, was like. So it makes it, because there's so many books that we read that we think, oh, no one would behave like that. That's not something a real person would do. But when it's got like a magical aspect to it, it's like...
You can suspend
some of your disbelief and it makes it all kind of gel so much better. But, and it also gives you a chance of, like we just did, wow, what would I have done if I had, you know, run into someone, if I had an apartment like this, you know, what would that have looked like? And so it just gives you something to kind of mull over and think about while you're reading the book. And it just kind of helps you get lost in the story, I think, if it's done well.
By the way,
which she does do it well.
The Dead Romantics is a funeral parlor that her dad died.
Yeah, but it was a family-owned funeral parlor.
Yeah, and she's a ghostwriter. for a romance author. And then there's a ghost standing at the funeral parlor's front door. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of remember it.
Vaguely. Yeah, I also, I think, like, I was just recommending,
Riley Thorne.
I always want to say Lucy Score and The Dead Guy Next Door. I'm like, no, it's Riley Thorne and The Dead Guy Next Door. By Lucy Score. But I was just recommending Riley Thorne to a friend of mine, which has a new cover, by the way, at Target.
Well, I think there's another one coming out this summer.
Well, and I think Lucy Score is going through, like, some sort of either got, like, new
revamp.
Editorial team or something like that. But, and because there's a lot of, like, because I also saw, like, Buy a Thread and stuff.
With different covers.
With different covers. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, but so I was recommending that, and that's another a good example of, like, just a touch. Like, I mean, obviously she can hear dead people, and
it's a big touch, but
that's a bigger touch than
but
normal.
It's very much,
but still very grounded in
reality.
Yes.
And then just this suspense of belief about this one little thing.
Yeah. So with this, I thought, and it further added to, I mean, obviously was a big part of the kind of just like magicalness of the book. There was a few instances where I think I was getting a little too, like caught up on certain logistics of how it was working. Like in my head, I kept thinking, well, if it hasn't happened yet for her, maybe he shouldn't know about it yet. Do you know what I mean? Like
if it hasn't happened yet for her.
So, like, if she hasn't done it yet, then, like, he doesn't have a memory of it yet. Like, I thought that was going to end up being a thing. Like, you know, the Back to the Future-ness of it all.
Okay.
Like, if she hasn't done it yet, then, like, the picture is fading and he can't see the picture.
Well, that would be a little weirder. I think the way they did it was fine.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was never quite clear on, as soon as she remembers him, why don't they just jump each other?
Oh, when she sees him in the 7 years later?
Yeah.
Well, there was like that awkward, he even said, he says, I was trying so hard to be impressive.
Yeah.
Because he thought that's what she, you know, because he talked about how his career was going to be so great and he had all these great aspirations. And so he wanted to come off as someone who really had his crap together and really just came out as kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, and I guess, like, we're supposed to, you know, buy into, like, then they both worry about what it's going to do to her career, which that's always, like, alluded to as being the reason, but it's never, like, flat out said as the reason why they're not jumping.
Well, and then it never comes out that, oh, I'm not working anymore, so let's do this.
So there was a few things like that where I kept, like, worrying, I think, more than I was supposed to about, like, the logistics of this interdimensional time travel.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I just go with it, and you have to try and figure it out too much.
Well, I think I'm used to reading books where where there's some sort of twist or something.
Well, and like I said, because you could see from the get-go that he was going to be the guy that...
The thing that did throw me a little bit was the Vera.
That, me too. And so, reveal. To me, and I even said to you, I said, there's a reveal, but I don't think it's much of a reveal because they're not trying real hard to keep it secret, but I think there might be more to reveal. And that's, so the Vera thing was more of a
this
reveal.
This is the other thing that I was like, maybe that's going to end up being like a thing is, the pigeons.
I thought so too. And that the pigeons like looked the same as they had for 7 years and pigeons
and
just
that,
don't
like,
live
maybe,
that long.
Like the fact that the pigeons live outside the apartment is why the apartment is magical is because it's like the pigeons are magical and like they're the ones that
nothing's ever explained. We never know why it's magical.
And so, yeah, I kept thinking that like the pigeons were going to end up being like star-crossed lovers that were cursed to be.
You know, Ellen, you can make up your own story. That could be it. I did think that it was I was wondering how they were going to handle this, but when they were going to leave the apartment together, and then it turns out she just disappeared on him.
Yeah, and that's, like, what makes him
go, what the heck is going on?
And he thought she was a ghost and stuff. So, yeah, I really liked, and it made for, I think it really sets up well the major themes that it explores that we're going to talk about in a second. But also it just kind of made for, like, a interesting, lovely little romance element. And she, like, got the perfect ages to where, like,
either way was okay.
Yeah, where it's not, like, so, I mean, 7 years.
Because he was 22 and she was 25 or something.
So.
He was 22 at the beginning. I mean.
No. She was 22 in the 7 years in the past. He was, like, 26 when it was 7 years in the past.
No, he was. Yeah. I thought it was the other way around.
Because remember, he was older.
I thought he was older than her. I thought she was older than him in the 7 years in the past.
She is. But, like, because she's 7 years in the future. She's, like, 29.
Oh, okay.
When they're sleeping together.
Right.
And he's, like, 26.
Okay, got it. And then when he comes back. Okay, got it.
Then he's, like, 34 or something.
Right, so he's 26 and 29, and then he's, like, 30, early 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that works. Perfect. Yeah.
So it was never any ages where anything was, like, kind of weird.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was.
I'd be all over that trash if it was.
So, yeah. Okay, so we have alluded. Change is, like, a big element of this plot. What did you think of the eventual messaging around that?
I really liked it, and I liked the whole idea of, you know, you got to let someone grow up, and you've got to, like I said, it was kind of a weird dynamic because she fell in love with him when he was younger, mm-hmm. and then he was a little different mm-hmm. when he was older, and she had to come to grips with that, and she, you know, had this whole epiphany where she's like, I got to stop comparing him to himself.
Yeah. She's like, because I'm not the same person that I was seven years ago. And so to compare him is unfair to both of himself.
Yeah.
And I liked how, you know, if I loved him when he was 26, then, you know, it wouldn't be any different than, like, getting together with him when he's 26 and then growing up with him and changing with him.
Right.
And she says, you know, something along the lines of loving someone is changing together and growing up together. And, you know, she has to miss out on that part.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Before we get too far away from him, I want to say I do love his nickname for her.
Yeah. The Lemon.
Lemon.
Yeah. First of all, it always made me think of 30 Rock.
30 Rock, of course. Because especially when he's like, Lemon? Lemon? It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Not Liz Lemon.
Yeah.
But the fact that he pulled it out of the middle of Clementine.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It was cute. But yeah, so I really liked that, all that messaging with, yeah, just that, like,
yeah.
People change, and in some ways it's for the better, and maybe in some ways it's for the worse.
Well, and he needed her to compare him to himself a little bit, because he had kind of lost sight of what his original goals were for his career, and so for her to call him on some of that stuff, it was good. It was good for him.
But she also needed to be called.
And so then when he, like, kind of changes things around, he says, you know, these few things I changed to get back to my original goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not the same person. You know, I'm an experienced chef now. And so things are going to be different.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, he's learned things both career-wise and, you know, he's been through, like, loss and different things that just do.
He's traveled the world.
Yeah, that just do change you. And they are going to change even, like, his nice, humble ideas of what to do for his restaurant. yeah, he's traveled the world. He's trained under a world elite chef. And, like, he's going to have different ideas.
It's going to be different.
Yeah. So I did really like all of that. Now, grief is the other kind of major theme, I would say, of the book. Because she is living in the apartment of her aunt who has passed away.
Who she was very close to.
Who she was very close to. And her aunt was, like, just this kind of larger-than-life presence who was always traveling the world and doing all sorts of things. And she died about 6 months before the book starts. And she, we need to say, like, did die by suicide. And, well, they think, like, she dies of an, like, a very intentional looking overdose, right?
Yeah. It was pretty implied that she committed suicide.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, oh, that seems so out of character. She seems like such a happy person. But then, as you get to see things in her life, you're like, she had a fear of not being able to live up to where she was anymore. I mean, like, mm-hmm. she quit acting on the stage because she didn't think she could ever do better than she had in that last play mm-hmm. that she was in. And then it just seemed like there were things, even all her traveling, I think she, anyway, she'd start, her body was starting to break down. She wasn't able to do things she wanted to do. And I think she just didn't want to
be in that.
Yeah. The way it was written, I was able to understand. I mean, not that I would ever.
I thought it also did. Suicide, but did a really good job, though, with, I don't know, depicting, like, some of the guilt that somebody would feel.
Absolutely.
Like, of, did I do enough? Like, and I think that's why it's really hard on Clementine, is because she's not only having to grieve the loss of her aunt, who she was really close to, but also having to grieve, like, did I do enough? Did I, right. like, because she wanted to go travel and do an adventure, and I kind of put her off because she I had to do my job.
Started this new job.
And,
I think, though, that whenever you have a situation like that in your life, you're always going, I mean, the people around you are always going to feel guilty and wonder what they could have done differently. Mm-hmm. When in reality, there's probably nothing that they could have done differently, or little that they could have done differently. This person obviously was unhappy. And
yeah, well, and it's implied that, you know, she's dealing with depression and, mm-hmm. and different things like that. And yeah, and I like where Clementine kind of arrives in relation to that, but also just generally with grief in particular, like just grief in general,
mm-hmm.
That she, I like the messaging of it's never gonna go away. Like,
right.
It's always going to be there, but, and like, there's always going to be bad things and sad things that happen, but then there's also, like, moments of joy and relief from some of that sadness and grief.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to find the ways to balance that, I would say. And I think that's another thing of where she arrives with, spoiler alert, eventually, like, leaving her job is just she's, like, I don't have to live my life as large as she did, but I also, you know, need to generally take what.
But she shouldn't live as small as she was living.
Yeah, and she still wanted to, like, chase the dreams like her aunt taught her and stuff like that. So I liked all of that.
I did too.
Okay. Conflict. I didn't really have a whole lot. So the conflict essentially is this blow up that they have at the restaurant where she just is, you know, she calls him on. You had.
In her defense, that restaurant sounded horrible.
Yeah, I agree. And
But this is coming from a person who my favorite restaurant is a hole-in-the-wall Mexican restaurant in our neighborhood.
And literally, that is the only place that she ever, ever wants to go. Ever.
Okay, first of all, not literally. I go to other places. Just, we have a handful of nearbys that we like.
I go to lunch every weekend with my mom, my dad, and my aunt and uncle. So I'm the youngest person by, like, you know, 25 years. And they have hole-in-the-wall Mexican food, a diner that gives free tapioca to people over 65.
Okay. I don't eat the tapioca. Your dad and your uncle eat the tapioca. I'm not a tapioca person.
And then, like, what's the old spaghetti factory?
We go to spaghetti factory sometimes. We go to, sandwich places sometimes. And
yeah.
But
it's like four places, and then, but it's like every other, so like we go and it's like every other place we go to is Mexican food. So it's Mexican food, Old Spaghetti Factory, Mexican food.
Okay. I love Mexican food.
Diner food, Mexican food.
Well, here's
sandwich and salad.
This place. Mexican restaurant is like our Cheers. Literally. We walk in, all the waiters know us. They know.
They come out with our drink order.
They know our drink order. When they bring us our chips and salsa, I always ask for salt. And so now they always bring us salt with our chips and salsa. And it's
especially
just,
the one guy.
They know us. And so we feel comfortable there because we can chat with them. They know our orders pretty much. Yeah. They know that I don't need a menu and your aunt doesn't need a menu. And they get us. And if, like, one time I wasn't feeling well, so my husband and my sister and her husband went without me, and they literally asked, "Where's the other one?" And that made me feel
Where's the mouthy one?
Where's the mouthy one? Made me feel all warm inside. So
that's what I gave a talk at church last week, and from like the pulpit at church, I called mom the mouthy.
Yeah,
I'm mouthy sister Lloyd.
Mouthy one in the ward, and that's okay. I'm fine being the mouthy one. I will own to that. I mean, I'm on a podcast. Of course I'm mouthy.
And I did imply later on in my talk that I am also the mouthy one.
You are also mouthy. Because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
That's true. Okay, so back to the conflict. That was...
Okay, yes.
Tangent. But the
That's weird. We never go on tangents.
So... He opens this, like, does, like, a soft launch of his new restaurant, and it's, like, super sterile and, like...
Uncomfortable, you know, stools that they have to... Gosh, it sounded like my worst restaurant nightmare.
Deconstructed lemon pies and, like, food served on dry ice and, like, all this kind of... If you watch Food Network, you know, there's... You know the chefs that are doing this. She basically is, like... What the hell, man? Like,
well,
this
she's
is...
not like, it's more, it made her sad. It made her sad that he, because when he finds her, she's like in the hall crying because it's just not what he wanted. It's not.
I think she's sad for him because she's like, this sweet boy that I knew who had all these like dreams that were like simple and lovely. And now like you're in this freaking sterile restaurant where it's nothing at all like what you said you wanted, and like you've completely changed your philosophies on food. And she kind of just like calls him out, but then he calls her out and is just like, you need, like, I am different. Like, I am not the same dishwasher that I was 7 years ago. And if I was that same dishwasher, you wouldn't know who I am. Like, you wouldn't be trying, because she's in the midst of all this, she's trying to like get him to publish a book. And so he's like, you wouldn't care to like publish a book about me if I was still that dishwasher, you know, from North Carolina kind of thing. And so they kind of have like this blow up, and she has to, like we've alluded to earlier, own up to like,
people change.
You know what? He's right. Like, I shouldn't be calling him out because he is allowed to change. Like, I'm very different from the person that I was 7 years ago.
She just comes to the realization that she's comparing him to him. And it's, she says, I can't do that. It's not fair to him.
Yeah. And, you know, they have their, like, reconciliation because he does modify the restaurant and he owns up to, like, you know what? You're right. This is, like, very different. I want people to enjoy themselves and I want to, like, find some love in food again and all these things. And so, yeah, so that was the conflict. I mean, it's really, I mean, it is, like, interpersonal between them, but I think more so it's, like, interpersonal just between her and herself.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, come to grips with, you know.
But, like I said, she does bring him, help him realize that, you know, this is not really exactly what you wanted. You know, if this is where you're going, that's fine, but... You know, this is
maybe think a little bit on like what you used to want.
Because he got into the whole reason he wanted to be a chef is because he used to cook with his grandfather, and his whole dream was to have this restaurant that his grandfather would have been proud of and stuff, and to serve food that people enjoy. And the thing she points out is, she says, just listen to your restaurant. Is anyone laughing and having a good time? And you know, no, they're just
yeah. So I thought it was good though. I liked that. You know, the happily ever after wasn't him like, you're right, I need to like totally get back to my roots, but it's more a compromise. Yeah. And it's like,
and that's what love should be. And anytime I complain about a book, this is what I'm complaining about. If people are really in love, then they make compromises and they make changes for each other, and they are understanding of one another. And this book did it just
But it's not to the point where he has to like change everything.
No.
And he's like, you know, I'm gonna keep I'll make the damn lemon pie, but I'm keeping the dry ice noodles. So I really liked it. I thought it was a really good...
I'll tell you what though, anytime we read a book about a chef, that scene, I would never in my life ever, ever want to be a chef. That life just seems terrible to me.
I know. The hours alone,
I cook a Thanksgiving dinner and I'm crippled the next day.
There was a lot of stuff that they described, though, where I was like, damn, that sounds good.
Yeah, his lemon pie sounded really good.
Yeah, the lemon pie, the fajitas. There was a lot of things where I was like, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to be a chef, but I do love food.
Because, yeah, that was the other thing that was described very, like, romantically was... the food.
Yeah.
All sounded, like, lovely. Let's talk about sex, baby.
It was pretty mild.
Pretty mild. Honestly, like, probably my favorite scene in the book is, it's hard to describe, but both present day, older and wiser, Ewan and Clementine go out and they have dinner and like they have this kind of like sexually charged moment where like they want to kiss but they don't because you know they're kind
she's gonna be his working with him and they didn't want to mess
complicate things, and so she goes back to the apartment and opens the door and there is
young
Ewan and she just jumps in.
Because they had this sexually charged moment, and now she wants to.
And now she's like, "Well, I can have that one." And so she has her and Ewan have sex when he's younger, and then the next day she sees older Ewan, and he notices she has a hickey, and he's like,
"Looks like you had a fun night."
He's like, "Oh wow, so like you just went like straight after our date, like and hooked up with somebody else?" And she's like, yeah, about that. And then he realizes...
Then it dawns on him.
That it was him. And that... It's probably is my swooniest moment, but where he's just like, you don't understand. It happened for you last night, but it happened for me seven years ago. And, like, I still remember, like, the way you kissed my tattoos and, like...
And she's like, yeah, it was good sex.
And all this stuff.
And he's like, so you had a good night. And she's like, yeah, technically this morning, too.
He's like, damn it. That's right.
I just really loved that scene. It was like everything you would hope for from an interdimensional time travel romance. But then the other thing I will say about the sex that I also really liked was when she does eventually sleep with older and wiser Ewan, she's like, you know what? It was great and magical when he was 26.
Yeah.
She's like, but all those years of gallivanting around Europe and hooking up with a bunch of girls on, you know, that she saw on his Instagram, she's like, they served him well, and, like, it's even better, so...
He's learned a thing or two, and I'm here for it.
So, I was like, you get it, girl. Go for it. What was your swooniest moment?
That's a really good one. There were a lot of swoony moments in this one, but... Oh, just him cooking for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was all nice.
Man.
They had really good banter, too.
They had great banter. But him, like, just serving her crappy frozen pizza because he made her this pie.
I get that. Can relate.
Yeah, absolutely. And, but then him even appreciating a crappy frozen pizza, you know, it's like, you know, it's still pizza. And, I don't know. There was just, there were a lot of swoony stuff.
Yeah. So both the sex scenes that I just said, and I did really like the scene where she's trying to find all his tattoos and stuff like that.
That was good.
Also really cute. And when he later had a new
lemon blossom tattoo.
But the other one that I was like, oh, that sounds lovely, was, like when he was 26 and it's before they have, like, they have, like, a pretty heavy makeout, and then they, like, calm down, because they were like, maybe we shouldn't. Especially she's feeling like...
Because she knows he's in the past, and he doesn't know that she's in the future yet.
Yeah. But they, like, lay in her bed, like, they lay in the aunt's bed, and they just, like, she's like, we're forehead to forehead and just, like, talking all night. I was like, oh, that sounds lovely. So, that was my other one that I thought of.
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
Okay, so that's what we think. Obviously, we are favorable. Let's start hearing from some of y'all on what you think. First up, we have audio from Jill. So let's hear from Jill.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Ellen. It's Jill here to talk about how much I love, love, loved the 7-year slip. I actually read this for the first time late last summer, and I think what made this a true love to me was the scene when Clementine comes out of the bathroom in her aunt's over-the-top robe, feeling like she's some femme fatale in a 40s movie. And Ewan goes, where were you the night your husband was murdered? And then she talks about how it's hard to find good help. And he's like, was that a pool boy or a husband? Anyways, I don't know. I just thought it was really cute and fun and just shows how their banter is just there from the jump. I really liked the time travel aspect of it, even though time travel things kind of make my brain go a little swirly, but it's just kind of interesting to go to an apartment and meet your true love 7 years in the past, and you can't always go back. I thought that this was an interesting take on second chance romance because sometimes with second chance romance, when there's the alternate timeline, you're waiting for like that big bad thing to happen that breaks them up. And it's usually disappointing, but this is credible. I mean, as credible as time travel can be, that 7 years is keeping them apart, and they can't really, when they meet in the future, they can't really like dwell on the breakup because there wasn't really a breakup. I liked how the author handled grief. I liked the friends aspect, loved the food aspect. I liked that Clementine was getting back into her love for art. Just all in all, such a great book. And I actually re-listened to it this week, and the audiobook is really well done. All in all, this has been a fantastic week of books for me based on some comments on the Facebook group. I read The Long Shot by Kennedy Ryan, and oh boy, that was quite a read. It was emotional. It was excruciating. Very well done. Love story was amazing, but definitely was just an important read. And then listened to the audiobook of the 7-year slip. And then on Tuesday, I was so excited because I was able to check out Abby Jimenez's new book, Just for the Summer, which is fantastic. It really has some great Easter eggs for the Abby Jimenez cinematic universe. So hopefully other people are fortunate to get this book as well. Anyways, that's all I have to say, but I hope everybody also enjoys this book. Can't wait for the podcast and have a wonderful week. Bye.
Thank you for that, Jill.
Yeah, our true crime selves also loved the scene where she comes out in the fancy bathroom.
I mean, listen, maybe Ellen has a...
Maybe she does have a robe like that.
And literally, I bought it solely for that reason. Like, my friend, she's always like, we should do, like, a saucy, like, photo shoot with you in that robe. I'm like, no. It's not for that.
It's just for me.
It's just for me.
And she got the little slip-on high-heel slippers.
Like a bad bitch in a 1940s, like my rich husband was just murdered. Let me live my fantasy. And so, yeah, we did love that. And I find it... I didn't think of this book as a second chance romance, but I guess it kind of is.
It absolutely is.
It has, like, a lot of the same, you know, like, I've changed since we were last together. Like, it has those elements, but I didn't even, like, I didn't even put two and two together. So that's really interesting to think of it in that context. And, yeah, I agree. Like, really well done. And I will have to say also that I was glad that... He was in the loop with the fact that she was from the future.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't, he was just in the dark, like, where did she go? Like, she just disappeared and I never saw her again.
Well, and even the whole scene of the taxi ride, because he leaves the apartment, he's moving out of the apartment, leaves the apartment, gets in a cab, and is sharing a cab with someone, and he ends up sharing a cab with her.
From the past.
From the past.
Well, present day when he is.
But. Yeah. But, and by this time he realizes kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's funny that he doesn't ever talk, because he never really talks about his mother, because his mother would have known about it too.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he realizes this is her younger self. And he's trying to talk her into going into publishing because he knows that that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was just kind of a... you know, a moment for them.
Yeah. Well, and it talks, like, her aunt initially introduces the house as, like, or the apartment as, you know, it gets people when they're at crossroads. And that definitely, like, they are, both in the past timeline and in the present day timeline, for lack of a better, you know, because she's about to get into publishing. He is just about to, like, start his culinary career. And then... in the present day, he's about to make this big leap with his own restaurant, and she is not knowing it, but about to make a career shift as well. And
I'm surprised, though, that it didn't make a bigger deal of when she met her aunt, in the, because there is the one scene, and then the chapter just ends.
Yeah, I kind of always knew that that was going to happen, like, that at one point, like... aunt was going to come home and she was going to get to spend. But I also always knew that it was going to be at a time where she could, like, handle it.
Right. And could disassociate herself somewhat with what, like, I hope she didn't say anything to her aunt. I'm assuming she didn't say anything to her aunt. Like, don't kill yourself.
Yeah. No, I think it's just supposed to be kind of like a ships passing in the night kind of moment. And
that's... yeah, and almost... I mean, I almost kind of like that they didn't show us more, because it's kind of like an almost too intimate thing to show us. Does that make sense?
Because
then we can just kind of imagine what it was like for them and don't have to have it written on the page.
Yeah. But yeah, I thank you for that, Jill. And I'm sorry that you had to go through Longshot. But it is
such a good book.
So worth it. And I've seen lots of really good things about her new one as well, and Kennedy Ryan's. And I've also obviously seen good things from all of you about the new Abby Jimenez. Let's just be honest, it's probably going to end up on the summer reading list. So I'll probably just wait until then. As I said on the Facebook group, though, that cover is just, like, so dreamy. Like, one of my favorite covers ever. I love it. And when I saw it in person at Target, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. Just want to, like, live in it.
I will say, though, because I don't want to turn people off from reading Longshot. Longshot is not an easy read. But
it's a worthy read.
It's a worthy read. And it just, I really feel I walked away from that book a better person. There are very few books that just, I feel like, changed me in some way. But that one really made me appreciate more what these women go through, and not to, because I think we tend to blame them a lot of times for what they're going through. Like, why don't they just walk away? Why don't they just leave? Why do they put
it up with it? It does a really good job of depicting, like, how you get caught in that loop and how it's really hard to get out of. And it is just the most, like, oh,
most, like, beautiful love story.
I might need to reread that one. I really love that book.
Anyway, so yes, you have to be in a certain place, but it is such a good read.
Yeah, and it's just so swoony and, like, passionate and just, like, oh,
so good.
It's beautiful. Okay. Sarah says, I read this when it came out, but didn't have a chance to reread it. This was probably my favorite romance of last year. I keep thinking of bringing it as my to give away book at Silent Book Club, but can't part with it. Ashley Poston does a beautiful job weaving the romance plot and the grief plots. It is just so real and raw and emotional. Ewan, although Jill said, Ewan? That's not, I like Ewan, but Ewan better. Should be in the running for best book boyfriend.
But I think she listened to it, so she probably knows exactly how to say it.
I know, it's probably true. But yeah, he could be in the running for book boyfriend. He's pretty swoony. New to us, too. This one would be good for that. Elizabeth says, I read this back in January and loved it. It has been one of my favorite reads of the year. It was emotional, romantic, and a bit sad. It made me hungry, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
All those things.
Hungry. And a little thirsty.
Cassie says, I read this in January and enjoyed it. I thought the romance was cute, and I really liked Ashley Poston's writing. I like the way she writes grief. I thought the time slip was an interesting premise, but I kind of wanted more concrete answers about how it worked. See, Cassie gets it. She says, I still really enjoyed it and appreciated it for the unique romance that it is. Yeah, but I totally agree, Cassie. Like, I was like, But wait a second.
Well, and the whole thing about it happening when you're, like, at a crossroads in your life, that at least explains why, like, it just wasn't happening all the time, you know? Otherwise,
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like it might be just something, like, you'd never know when you walk in your apartment where you're going to be.
I know. There were a lot of times where I was like, I just want her to go bang it out with Ewan.
And she did.
I know, but not always when she wanted to.
Yeah, she did have to wait until the apartment said it was okay.
Yeah. Ashley says, I also read this back in January and enjoyed it more than I thought I would, especially since I didn't care for the dead romantics. I struggle with time travel books because my brain isn't smart enough to comprehend how it works. I did want a smidge more of the romance because I did like them together. I really enjoyed the Lemon nickname, too. Mm-hmm. I also felt like I still had a lot of questions about the apartment and the relationship between Clementine's aunt and Ewan's mom. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but I thought they lost contact after realizing their relationship wasn't going to work in real time. But Ewan was able to sublet the apartment knowing it was one of his mom's friends. Maybe that's just me thinking too hard about things. I think she was never told that they lost touch. I think she assumed that they did.
Clementine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, like, in actuality, like, she was sort of keeping in touch with Vera the whole time.
Yeah, I think she was keeping in touch. Well, right, Vera said that they were writing each other.
Yeah, like, she's, like, it was, like, every few months or every year.
Yeah, she just said she'd hear from her now and then. And I just think that her aunt realized it wasn't going to work out because of the time. I don't know. Well, because Vera wanted a family, and so she went
and, went and did that in the seven year
in that time gap.
Yeah,
but I there was something else I was going to comment on. I can't remember now what it was, but
cool. Liz Locke, author of Follow the Sun.
Yes.
Says, I'm a sucker for a good interdimensional romance, and this was a great one. One of my favorite reads in recent memory. This was a book where the characters and settings really leapt off the page. Couldn't put it down. I totally agree with that. And I was also thinking it's a really good one for, like, non-romance readers.
Yeah.
Because it deals with, like, a lot of interesting themes and feels important and well-written and lovely. But still has, like, a heavy dose of romance.
Romance. Just a smidge of paranormal.
Yeah. Next up, we have another audio file from Anna. So let's hear from her.
Hey, Noyomo's Mom and Ellen. Anna here with some quick thoughts about The 7 Year Slip. I actually had really low expectations for this one because I didn't care for the one we read previously, The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston. That one just didn't really work for me, so I thought that this one, the time-gapped change wasn't going to really work, but I thought Ashley Poston did a good job of not overdoing it and making it interesting and work. And usually if I have low expectations, that makes me like something more because then I don't have high expectations for it. So I actually thought this was really cute. I liked Clementine. I liked the gromancy parts of the story. I liked that Ewan, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, James Ewan, his growth part of the story was interesting and plausible, and same thing with Clementine. Anytime he said his nickname for her, called her Lemon, I thought of 30 Rock. I pictured Liz Lemon from it. So I was trying really hard not to picture Tina Fey as Clementine, but that was really hard. But yeah, I thought this was really cute. I thought that the story was, it kept me interested. I thought it was sweet and not overly spicy, but yet still worked. So overall, this was a like for me. And I hope everybody else liked it as well. And I'm excited to hear what everybody else thinks. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Anna. Yeah, totally agree on the Liz Lemon
thing. Yeah.
I
did too. I mean.
But yeah, I agree on all
fronts.
All counts. Victoria says, I'm probably going to be the odd one out, but while I thought it was okay, I didn't love it. I was really looking forward to this book and read it when it came out, but as for her previous one, I found it a little predictable and a lukewarm. I got that the chef in the first scene was the hero, and I struggled a bit to buy into their chemistry. The time travel aspect was interesting, but I can't suspend my belief enough not to wonder how it'd work. Did she lose days at a time in her present timeline? Wouldn't she lose her job? If not, would she just go back to the moment she left the present and continue from there? Did I watch too much Star Trek The Next Generation as a child to wonder about space-time continuum in this? Probably. Few books have done it well since The Time Traveler's Wife. Anyway, a 3-star for me. I did also wonder about that, Victoria. I think it was not a coincidence that it always happened on weekends.
It did happen on weekends, and like she would have to get up in the morning and go to work. I mean, that was, and then she would come home to an empty house. So sometimes not.
So yes, it was only when she was like in the apartment. And so, but time was still continuing for her.
Time was still continuing on in both time loops.
And that's like why her phone didn't work.
Yeah.
I was always like, she should just go out like every couple hours and just like check her phone just to make sure, like, you know, the world wasn't burning down. Like,
but then she might go in and he wouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, like, I also had that same thought, but I was like, I think it's intentional that this is always happening on weekends that they get together. And I do also think, I mean, you talk about Star Trek The Next Generation, but I think we are just kind of more saturated these days with, like, time multiverse, time travel-y, you know, interdimensional, like, storylines. And so we think more critically and analytically about, like, how it is all working then.
Yeah, it's like having a deep, in-depth discussion about the zombie apocalypse. And it's like, okay.
Yes. Well, you have lots of different things that you can talk about with the zombie apocalypse. Are they fast zombies? Are they slow? Are they 28 days later zombies?
Is it like a disease kind of zombie? Or is it a dead person zombie?
What were we just talking about with, like, when all the family was over here?
I don't know.
But you were like, are they slow lumbering zombies? Oh, I think it was The Last of Us is what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so it's like, we've been so saturated with zombie stories, obviously, and it's not even a real thing that could happen. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the same thing with this, where it's like, yes, there's lots of different ways that we've been shown it could happen, but in reality, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you don't know that.
I'm like 99.9999% sure. It's like, it's not
going to
happen.
We watched an SNL skit today about being Jumanji'd.
Being Jumanji'd.
Like, you cannot prove
that you can't get sucked into that game.
That you can't be Jumanji'd. Okay. Amanda says, I just finished this. It was a like for me. I had to reread parts at times to remember if the book was in the present or 7 years ago. Yeah. I'm not sure if the whole time travel genre is for me, but I definitely liked Lemon and Ewan together. And Jen says, I really enjoyed this book. It's definitely not strictly a romance book. It's also an exploration of grief. I love this passage, quote, sometimes the people you loved left you halfway through a story. Sometimes they left you without a goodbye, and sometimes they stayed around in little ways, in the memory of a musical, in the smell of their perfume, in the sound of the rain and the itch for an adventure, and the yearning for that liminal space between one airport terminal and the next. I hated her for leaving, and I loved her for staying as long as she could, and I would never wish this pain on anyone, end quote.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was really good. It's also a study in time and timing. I felt attached to both Clementine and Ewan. I loved that they both called each other out for settling in their careers. These are my favorite swoony moments. One, when Ewan's friends tease Ewan on how much he talked about Clementine.
Aww.
That was cute.
And she was there hearing it.
Ewan leaving a space in his restaurant for Clementine to make a mural. Cute. Ewan tattooing a lemon flower over his heart. Yes. I also got a kick out of the Dead Romantics Easter eggs. I could tell that there were things being mentioned that were probably Easter eggs for that book, but I obviously could not remember that book well enough to
pick them up. But
overall, I really liked this book for the wisdom and the sweetness. It's a book that will stay with me for a long time. Yeah, I totally agree. And good quote pick.
Yes.
And I was going to say something, and I can't remember.
Oh, really?
No, and I can't remember what it was now. Must not be that important. Let's hear from Gail, who also
sent in. Loving the audio.
And she sent in our last one, so we'll hear from her.
Hi, No Yomos. This is Gail, and I wanted to record some of my thoughts about The 7 Year Slip. When I started reading the novel, I was a bit caught up in the idea of whether or not I liked the time slip idea. And now that I've been through the whole thing, I really liked it. I think that I will give this book a love. And the reason is because I thought that the author had a lot of interesting things to say about who we are at different points in our life that was really interesting to me. I loved that this was a second chance romance, which is a really hard thing to pull off. But sometimes we might meet a right person, but at the wrong time. But then also maybe with time, the right person becomes someone who's not right anymore. But I like the idea of thinking about how we might not be the same person we were 7 years ago. You know, that life changes us, that circumstances change us, that we grow and we can become happier or less happy, you know, that life just always keeps moving, and trying to be the person that the other, be someone that another person needs over the course of time is a challenge. I think we see this in friendships all the time. You know, we have friends that come and go in our lives and we need for a season in our life, but you know, as time and circumstances happen, you know, we can grow apart and just not be there for each other. I really liked Ewan a lot. I love that he was the one from the earlier time period, so that he was the one who was pining for 7 years for Lemon. I really liked Lemon as well. I thought that the grief that Lemon went through over her aunt was really well written. I really appreciated the author's note at the end that said that that grief wasn't authentic until she herself went through a period of grief. And I just thought she wrote it so well. I was a little frustrated in the middle of the story where we knew that Ewan knew the end of the first romance, but Lemon didn't, and we were only in Lemon's POV, so the author was holding a little bit of a secret from us, and that's become one of the things that I hate in novels, is when the author is holding a secret that becomes the twist at the end. I didn't feel like this novel really had that twist, and so I forgave the author for that. But it did get me, I don't know, reading quickly because I was anxious to get to the end, when I might have enjoyed savoring the story a little bit more, because I did really appreciate a lot of the parts of the story where we have, you know, both Lemon and Ewan struggling with what their dreams were and where they are in their careers and if they're happy there. There was a lot of great stuff, I thought, in the novel, and I would have liked to have not felt like I wanted to rush through it so quickly. My swooniest moment was definitely when Ewan took Lemon to the food truck that belonged to his friends. That was just a very cute little moment. And the revelation that he had told his friend about Clementine, I just thought was really cute and very swoony. I thought the use of the sex scenes in the book was really interesting, because we had these flashes between sort of the present time and the past that Lemon was stepping into, but was still kind of her present as well. That made it interesting to see their past relationship developing at the same time that a new relationship is also developing. And so I thought that it was really well placed in the story. So overall, this was definitely a 5-star book for me. And I'll be interested to hear what other people think.
Thank you for that, Gail. So many of you picked up on the second chance and
eluded us.
And so the comment I was going to say that I completely forgot about. I did cry a bit towards the end. But honestly, the thing that made me cry the most was in the author's note where she's like, or like in the acknowledgments, when she gives like a thank you to her pet cat and she's like, you know, my cat's not doing that well. And so I'm just going to treasure like what I have with her right now. And I was just like, can't relate. 'cause totally get that. Stupid pets. Mom, final thoughts on this book?
I love this book, and I thought it was a super fun read, and I stayed up most of Friday night reading it.
Yeah, I mean, quick, too. Like, I read it super fast, And it's not like it was a frivolous, like, book. But, like, kind of like what Gail was alluding to. Like, you want to know.
Yeah. You get wrapped up in the story.
In what's going on and how it's all going to work out. Anyway. Okay. So, those are our thoughts and some of your thoughts on The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston. We would love to hear more from you on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is Not Your Mom's Facebook group, our Goodreads group, our Twitter and Instagram, which are both at Not Your Mom's Rom, or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us with your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. Next week on April 15th, we'll be chatting about Mickey Chambers' Shakes It Up by Cherish Reed. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. Don't forget to leave a review because it helps the show, and we just love to read them. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Welcome.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.